we're going to look at the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts, and we're going to really get serious and look a lot closer at Acts chapter 4, where we'll get into that in a minute. But the bottom line is like, well, that doesn't still tell me what you're preaching about. You're telling me where you're going to be preaching from, but what are you going to be talking about? And I said, well, this is what we're going to be talking about. We've got this amazing story to tell, just like Peter and John had this amazing story to tell. And towards the end of Acts chapter 4, they talk about how, matter of fact, they've been brought before the religious leaders, and they've been told to stop telling this story. And they say, we can't help but tell this story. That's what I want to talk about today. Where are we at with that? Do we have this story that's so compelling, that has God made such an impact in our lives that we can't help but share it with others? There are a lot of things that I know people talk about all the time. And the things that you talk about all the time tend to be something that's like the most important to you. And so I'm like, how are we doing when it comes to something that we say is the most meaningful thing to us? We're up here talking about all the time, wow, my relationship with God, that's like the most important relationship that I have. How often do I talk about that relationship then with other people? I talk about my relationship with my wife a lot because that's like the second most important relationship that I have. And I'm always talking about that relationship. Hey, whenever you prepare a message, you get convicted yourself about where you're doing. And so know this, that when I'm talking about this and I'll get passionate about some things, I'm not pointing fingers at all of us. I actually am, but I'm doing this also. I'm like, I'm starting right here because I realize that, man, I don't do this as much as I used to. And I want to share more about Christ. I want to share more. I want to be like Peter and John, who was like, I can't help but tell about what I have seen and what I have heard. That's what we're going to be talking about. So a little context, because we want to look at Acts. And before we jump into Acts 4, let's talk about a little bit of what was going on in Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3. By the way, guy that wrote Acts is Luke. I'm really excited about us digging into the Gospel of Luke, but same writer, same person. So Acts is up here. It's talking about kind of just following what happened in the early church, the first Christian church, kind of following how that all came about. So, you know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, one of my favorite passages or verses of chapter 1 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so prior to that, you know, I'm sure a lot of the early followers of Christ were kind of discouraged and maybe feeling a little defeated and even hiding out, thinking that, wow, they killed our leader. They may come after us next. And so they're kind of hanging low and just kind of hanging out. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and they're told to wait. Holy Spirit's going to give them power. So when we're talking about sharing our story, one of the things, and sharing God's story of who he is and what we've seen and heard, we have to always remember we're doing that with the power that God gives us to even talk about that story. Because sometimes we're just scared, right? We're scared to talk about Christ. We don't need to be. God gives us the power and the ability. Am I scared to talk about my relationship with my wife? No. And I'm saying that's the second most important relationship I have. So why should I be scared to talk about the relationship with my God, my Savior, my Lord, who I love and who loves me? I shouldn't be. But we can get all nervous about starting to talk about God with folks, you know. And I believe part of that, we're going to begin to dissect some of these along the way today, but I believe part of that's because we've bought into some of the lies or the myths that's out there about where people are at. Things like, ain't nobody interested in that stuff anymore. Nobody wants to hear that. That's not my experience, I can tell you that. So anyway, Acts 1, 8, we're told that God's going to give his power to be his witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness testifies about what they have seen and heard. That's what John and Peter was saying to the religious leaders. We can't help but talk about what we've seen and heard. How many times in a court of law have you been in there, if you have been, and you go in there and the witness is up there to testify, and he's just like miming everything that he saw and heard? He's not miming it. He's telling. He's speaking it out. And so, yes, it's important, y'all, to live godly lives and live lives that reflect Christ. Because there's a big, a lot of people these days, it's like, I don't need to talk about Christ. I just need to live a godly life in front of everyone. And everybody will just know that, you know, they'll just be drawn to Christ because of my life. Hey, that's cool, man, if you got that godly of a life. All right, but I'm a mess, man. And some people, they get little glimpses of God in me. All right. The God that hopefully I reflect him a little bit. And that's important. I don't ever want to discount how important that is. But at the same time, we got to use words. People still need to hear. They're not going to find out what it means to have a relationship and how you begin a relationship with Christ just through osmosis. It doesn't work that way. So you got Acts 1 talking about, hey, he's going to give us power to be his witnesses. Acts 2, Holy Spirit comes, all right? And you talk about there's Pentecost, and Peter gets up, and Peter starts preaching to this crowd, and the Bible says that 3,000 people decided to also follow Christ on that one day. First, they thought, wow, man, all these dudes is drunk because they started hearing everybody kind of saying things in their own language. But the Holy Spirit had given these guys the special ability to even speak in different languages on that particular day. And so, Acts 2, 3,000 people, that's a good start to a church, all right? Then Acts 3, you see this, Peter and John are going into the temple. And on their way into the temple, there's this dude that's been like lame like forever and a day. All right, and then they're up here, he's kind of begging along the way, and Peter and John's like, hey, we don't have any silver or gold to give you, but what we do have, we'll give it to you. Rise and be healed in Jesus' name. Take his hand, and old boy stands up and starts walking, and then they walk into the temple together, and old boy's up in there in the temple probably jumping around and praising God, and I know if I couldn't walk, I'd be... Ooh, you know, I'd be just like all up in there, you know, jumping around and showing everybody. And that's what was happening. So here's this guy that people have seen for years. And then they're like, how did this happen? And Peter and John start giving credit where credit is due. He was healed. We don't have any special powers. He was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. The one who you guys denied, the one who you all just... months ago or however long ago it was. I'm not that type of a scholar. You want to know that. Brandon will let you know, all right? He'll let you know the exact how many days it was or whatever. All I know, some time passed. And then you're up in there. He's up in there, and they're saying, look, this isn't any special powers. And Peter starts to just give this incredible sermon and calling the religious leaders of the day out. Talking about, we did this in the name of Jesus. You know the Jesus. And, of course, everybody knew Jesus back in that day and this time. The Jesus that you all just was responsible for crucifying or having crucified. He's calling them out. But then he's also being gracious, and he's like, but it's not like he's going to hold this against you. And he's calling people to embrace Jesus. And then a bunch more people get caught up. And want to start following Jesus. And let's pick up the story in Acts chapter 4. All right? So you have your Bibles. Turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 21. We're going to read most of the passage. Ooh, and you know what? I did not print. I printed up the whole story. So I need one of those ESVs. Do we have one? Who's got one right there? Thank you. So I'm like, I printed it up and then didn't bring it with me. All right, thank you. Buford, you're going to get me one. I don't want to take yours away. Thank you. Look at that, a preacher that doesn't even have a Bible, man. What's up with that? Thanks, Buford. He even helped me find it. Or Derek. Now, people will be calling you Buford for weeks now. Oh, my. All right, so Acts chapter 4, 1 through 21. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So earlier, 3,000 came. Now 5,000 came. You're talking about 8,000 new followers of Christ. And that may just be counting the men. I don't know for sure. All right. But anyway, you can see things are stirred up. And so we go on and we're like, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. So they got quite a crew of religious leaders there together. And this is what they say. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's key. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, This Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Man, I love that. I was like, I hope people could recognize that I've been with Jesus too, that I've spent some time with him. Goes on and says in verse 14, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. All were praising God for what had happened. For the man whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. That's our text that we're looking at. Now I want to share. I give a little tidbit here or there, but now I want to go back and share some insights as we take a closer look at this text. So, I already mentioned in verse 4, the men that came to believe that day was about 5,000. Here's what I want to say about that. The harvest is still ripe. The harvest is ripe. So don't believe the lie that people aren't interested. When I came back to the neighborhood and right in this area, matter of fact, I used to teach at this school a little bit back in the early 90s. And one of the first outreaches that we did in our ministry was over here at Fuller Park. And the Crips had claimed it for their place. And I was like, you can claim all you want. This is God's territory. This is God's neighborhood. That's my perspective about it. And we're his instruments. And so I'm not intimidated by what you claim is yours. We've taken the park this day, and we just went into the school. And at that time at Manuel, there's about 900 kids at the school in total. And we went out and went to the administrators and said, here's who we are. This is what we want to do. We're going to do a banana split eating contest out in the park. We're going to put a competition between freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. They're each going to have a 25-foot section of banana split to each. And we're just going to make a contest of it. I went and talked to the football coaches. Hey, can you come out and join us and support this thing? And let them know that we're going to then tell them that there's a ministry in the area. And this ministry is a youth ministry, and we talk about what it means to have a relationship with God. And if they have some interest, they will be able to let us know. We did the banana split eating contest, had a great time. Then started talking about the ministry, started talking about how we talk about the importance of having a relationship with God. Then we passed out a little comment card that said, if you're interested in hearing more about a relationship with God, check this box. By the way, about 600 kids came out to that banana split eating contest that day. 300 of them filled out cards that said, I want to know more about a relationship with Christ. It's not changed. That was like 1991 that we did that. And ever since, anytime I'm up here talking about kids and doing bigger things like that, there's always a great response of people who are like, yes, I'm interested. So don't believe the lie that people are not interested. God told us the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. The harvest is still ripe, and it's ripe right here in our own city. I guarantee you. So then look at verse 6. This is what I like about verse 6. Oh, I wish I would have brought my printed up version, because it's like real big print. All right, so here we go. Verse 6. Says, I'm going to read 5 and 6. On that day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with the Annas, with the whole, you know, religious leader crew. And then they brought Peter before him. And then it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, and you heard me read it earlier. Old boy just got up there and started talking with confidence, with boldness. Now imagine this. Was that not an intimidating group of people to be around? It was like all the religious leaders, the most powerful religious leaders of the day, the same ones that was responsible for having Jesus arrested and then handed over to the Romans and being crucified. And this is who you're standing before? All right? And he's like talking to them like with confidence, with boldness. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're not relying on yourself. It's like God will give you the boldness that you need, because some of us aren't like naturally just bold, you know? And so just wanted to point out that the Holy Spirit gives us power. Part of that power is, I'm going to give you boldness. Sometimes we're like, I don't even know what to say. Do we know our own story? That's what we say. You tell your story. You tell what you've seen and heard. You don't have to have all the answers. That's another reason why we don't talk to people more about Christ. We're afraid they're going to ask us some question we can't answer. There's lots of questions I can't answer. There's things I've wrestled with. I get to meet the Lord, I'll be asking all kind of questions that I was like wrestling with. But that hadn't kept me from enjoying a great relationship with him right now. And it shouldn't keep us from sharing what we do know, because we're all worried about what we can't share and what we don't know. Ain't nobody got a monopoly on knowing it all. So if that's what keeps us, then we may as well not say anything. But that's what I do tell people when they come up with a question that I say, I don't know, but I tell you what, I'll be talking to some people that might have some answers for you, and I'll get back to you on that. So I just like the fact that Peter and John were bold, and they weren't intimidated by this group that they was around. And my question to us is, who are we intimidated by? Are we intimidated to talk about our story or God's story at work because of the boss intimidates us? My coworkers intimidate us. If you're in a high school or what, there's this big old popular jock kid and he intimidates you or whatever. There were certain people in my high school. I came to Christ my senior year of high school. At the beginning of my senior year of high school is when I began my relationship with God. That was like back in 1978, all right? And so, yeah, I heard somebody whistle. It's probably a young person, too, that did that, you know. But I'm like, man, I feel so grateful. I'm so fortunate that I began this relationship then, because I've just been able to enjoy it for a much longer period of life. But right away, I was like, man, I want to tell others about this. And I had people that I was up here trying to impress in high school, some people that just intimidated me. And I was like, no. I got to tell them, because they up here, Saul, why ain't you going out and doing this and this with us anymore? And I had to tell them why, because God's changed me, and that's not what I even want to be about anymore. I could be intimidated with, and then I even lived with one of these guys in particular, gave me the hardest time first 2 years of college, up here calling me homo, this and that, because I'm not trying to get with women. Because my new relationship with God, I'm like, God, I want to follow your plan. So I'm waiting till I get married. And praise God, did. Went from doing it the world's way to then saying, no, I'm following God's plan. Tell some of these young people that these days, and they're like, you went 5 years, man. And I'm like, yeah. And you could too, because the same God that gave me the power to resist all the temptations that came my way can give you the same power to resist all the more abundant temptations that comes to young people these days. So I was intimidated a little bit by one roommate in particular. You know, dude was like bench pressing 350 pounds as a sophomore, you know. I'm like this little skinny 140-pound dude, and he's like, you know, all buff and I'm wanting to impress him, but I'm telling him the truth. And I kept telling him that no matter how much he's messing with me. Eventually, after sophomore year, I was like, I can't live with this crew anymore. I got to get out and mix it up and start living with some guys that are kind of walking the same path I'm walking. Eventually, though, that guy that I'm talking about, he came to Christ himself. He began that relationship with God himself. He's football coach over in Aurora, track coach, been influencing young people for many, many years now, you know. So don't be intimidated by the people that's around us. You know, if Peter and John can deal with the intimidating group of people that was around them, then we can sure deal with the who's ever around us that is kind of intimidating. All right? So then we look at, by the way, hold up here a second. There might have been something else I wanted to say about that. Nope, verse 8. Verse 8. See, and the numbers are like so small, man. It's like, that's where I'm like, all right, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. That's what I want to get at again, was just elaborate a little bit more on, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all, when I came to Christ and began my relationship with God as a senior in high school, wasn't anybody telling me anything about the Holy Spirit. What drew me to Christ and began to have a relationship with Him in the first place was God's love for me. That's what drew me to Him. So I was hearing all about His love for me. And a few weeks later, I was hearing about, you know, sin and how it just separates me from the Lord, and how God ain't just going to turn the other way and ignore my sin. There got to be some sort of consequence for the sin. And then I start learning more about Jesus paying the consequence and the price for my sin, and started learning all kinds of other things, started talking to God on a regular basis, started reading the Bible. But nobody was telling me anything about the Holy Spirit. And so my first year and a half of this relationship, I would describe it as up, down, up, down. Sometimes I'm close with God, other times I'm not. I mean, like, I was a thief growing up, man. And so here, my first year as a Christian rolled around, and Christmas, I'm a poor college student, and it's time to go home and do Christmas, and I'm like, I don't have any money. So I just did what I used to do. I just went to the stores and stole everybody's Christmas presents. And then I had them all wrapped up and everything, man. And I'm ready to go home with a bag of gifts to give to family members. And then I'm up here feeling like God's saying, we celebrating my birthday, and you going to celebrate it by giving stolen goods? And you know I don't want people stealing. And so I'm starting to feel bad, you know, but it's a lot of times you don't just change overnight, man. And so God's at work in all of us. One of my favorite passages is that He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it, you know. And so I didn't get transformed from being a thief to a non-thief overnight. You know, I just went back to, well, you need something, just go get it. But then I was like, no, this ain't gonna work. So then I unwrapped all the presents, and I took them back to the stores and put them back without anybody knowing that they was ever gone. My roommate, the one that I was intimidated by, the big, you know, he's like, man, you stupid, man, you're going to get caught taking stuff back. I said, what are they going to say? If I'm taking it back, then I'm making a wrong right. Ain't that what we're supposed to do? And so, but my experience with Christ was kind of up and down. And then I came home one summer, and then a friend of mine directed me to some passages and directed me to Ephesians 5:18, where it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what is that? What's that mean? To just yield yourself. Being filled is talking about being empowered. And I was like, yeah, I've kind of been trying to do this in my own strength. And the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us the power. The Holy Spirit, we talked about this a while back, He's the one that gives us love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, those should be qualities that are true of our lives. And so I'm like, all right, I need to keep saying, yes, Lord, fill me, empower me. Let this be the fruit of my life. Yeah. Develop these qualities more and more in me. The more that we go in our relationship, continue to develop these qualities in me. And so here's Peter, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you talk about that boldness. And we were on our campus, and it was like, we were like all talking about, let's change the world. Let's change our campus. And I was on the track team, and so I was like, I'm sharing with everybody who wants to listen on the track team. And then I was in this dorm, and I was like, and I'll talk to people in this dorm. And then the next year in college, it was like, I'd go to, and initially in college, I was like, man, I ain't even drinking anything anymore. And it wasn't even so much a biblical conviction. It was just that I drank so much in the early days and what, I was like, I'm tired of this. It ain't doing anything, you know? It's just old. But I still had the connection with guys that hung out in the bars, and I was like, I'm taking the hangar as the name of a local bar. I was like, that's going to be one of my places to go. And so, y'all, it was around, it was during football season. I went to the bar and I asked the bar owner, can I show a film about just Christian football players where they're kind of sharing their testimony, and then there's all these highlights and some big smash hits, and can I just show it? And then whoever will listen, can I talk to them a little bit? And they're like, yeah, you can do that. And so I'm up in there testifying about what God has done in my life in a bar. Man, that was just boldness. Like, what are we doing? How are we doing with these things? Sorry, guys, just checking on my time there. So let's pop ahead, jump up to verse 12. That was the, like I said, one of the favorite pieces of this. So they're talking about what should we do with these guys, and then they come to them. They called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. That's not verse 12. Sorry, that's verse 19. See, I'm telling you, I either need better glasses or bigger writing in the word here. So verse 12, he was talking about, he was talking about how he was saying they were testifying about Jesus. And talking about there's no other name under heaven in which you could be saved. Did they make that up themselves? No. They were just, again, passing along what they had seen and heard. Because, see, they was with Jesus when Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And don't no one come to the Father except through me. That's Jesus saying something about himself. All right? And so they were just passing on what they had seen and heard. The only reason that I point that out, y'all, is that in this day and age, we got a lot of people that they just don't like hearing that at all. Because, see, what's popular out there is there's all kind of ways to God. And I will listen to some of those things, but I still fall back on, what did Jesus say? And a lot of these other people that they say they're the way to God, they talked about, they're like, they're just people. Jesus made a unique claim where he's like, I am God. You see me, you see the Father. Me and the Father are one. All these other people that made some of these claims, they died and they stayed dead. Jesus backed up all his claims. I like serving someone that backed up their claims. Back in the day, I did a little rap when we was talking about Jesus, and part of it was, he ain't dead like old Muhammad. Old Buddha didn't have the nerve to rise from the dead like my Savior did. It's a living God I serve. And so, when you up here following somebody that's dead, how are they going to bring you, give you eternal life? They don't even have it for themselves. I'm like, I want someone that can deliver, all right? And so I'm following, and I have the living God, the mighty God, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who said, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And don't no one come to the Father except through me. If he said it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me, all right? And so I try not to get in arguments about all this stuff. I may hear people out, but I'm still falling back on, I'm just telling you what I've seen and heard myself, all right? And not firsthand seen and heard, but I have the record of what was shared. And these are Jesus' words. So, wanted to point that out. Verse 13. Help me out here. Is this where they was talking about and they recognized that they was uneducated men that they was talking to? Well, here's what I like about that. See, sometimes we start thinking, well, that's the pastor's job. You know, pastor's done that. He's real good at that. And we'll just leave it to the pastors. And it's like, no. Here's people that God were using was common people. That's what they're called. Uneducated common people. You don't have to have to gone to seminary or taken all the theology classes and whatnot. Do you need that in order to share your story of what God has done in your life? Absolutely not. Can it help? Yeah, absolutely it can help. But we don't have to have it. And so here was just Peter and John. I can relate to ordinary people. Y'all, I have no interest whatsoever in ever trying to learn Greek or Hebrew. All right? Praise to you, man. That's how you're wired. And other guys that just, ooh, this is cool, man. Look at what it says in the Greek. I'm like, I have a hard enough time with this language, man. I'm not trying to learn Greek, Hebrew, any other. You know, it's like, so, but I do know my story, and I want to share that. And so I'm part of that maybe lesser educated crew, common group that can just tell, though, what I've seen and heard. That's what they was doing. And they did it effectively. Did they do it because they was all? No. They had the Holy Spirit giving them power and even giving them the words to speak and share. Oh, boy, when you start reading some of Peter's sermons, you're like, is this Paul? This dude is coming across like he's been in the school and being trained by the best. Well, fortunately, he had got to spend 3 years with the best. That was and that rubbed off on him. And so he was just, again, sharing what he'd seen and heard. Look at verse 20. This is, again, where they're saying, we can't help but share what we have seen and heard. Let me point out two myths that we get caught up believing. Here's one. And by the way, I had hoped to make copies of this and leave it at the back table. Everywhere I went this morning, they didn't open till 10 or something like that. So I'll get this list. But this is a list that I've used in some trainings that I've done called 10 Common Myths Christians Believe About Evangelism. Here's myth number two. My life is my witness. I don't need words. We talked about that a little bit. Here's what I want to say about that. As Christians, our lives need to be consistent with our words. That's so very important. There's so many people that get turned off by God and Jesus and the Christian life and the Christian faith because the followers are so unlike Christ themselves. And if the more that we're like Christ, then the more attractive what we're sharing will be to other people. But you're up here talking about Christ being this, this, and this, but you don't demonstrate that. One of my favorite sayings is always, you ain't going to see any rocks flying from my direction. Going back to where Jesus is there, we're there with the woman caught in adultery. And he's saying, he's who is without sin, cast the first stone. And I'm like, I know my junk and mess. I'm not throwing a whole bunch of stones, but I'm aware of that. And, you know, we're all pretty much aware of what we do. But so it is important, though, that our lives need to be consistent with our words, but get this, but not a substitute for words. They went and they spoke boldly what they had seen and heard. They didn't remain quiet. They didn't rely just upon how they were living their lives before other people. Very, very important to live lives that reflect Christ. That's what drew me to Christ in the first place. Because here's this young lady that I'm interacting with, and she has peace in the midst of all kind of stuff going on in her life. And I had all kind of stuff going on in my life, but I didn't have peace. And I saw that she had peace. And I'm like, where's this peace come from? And I discovered it came from God. And I was like, I want that. And then I began seeing other qualities in her. And I was like, and I want that, and I want that, and I want this. So that's one of those. Then here's the other one. I should wait for people to come to me, observe that my life is different, and ask me about Christ. You know what? That happens every now and then, but it don't happen pretty much every day. And I don't know how many of you are fishers or are gone fishing, but let me ask you this. When's the last time when you did go fishing that a fish came up out the pond and asked, hey, where's your fishing pole? Man, I'd like to get on your line right now. Man, you're going to be waiting a long time if that's how you fish. Sharing Christ with people is an active, intentional endeavor, not a passive one. We experience the blessings of God when we're obedient to this. And so I just say, look, y'all, we got a story to tell. We got to share this story. So here's just a few other thoughts as I wrap things up here. So what? So we heard this. This is what they did. What about us? In verse 21, you see that the people, as they saw what had happened, that they were glorifying God. They were glorifying God. When we talk about the embassy and we say, what's our mission? What's our mission here? We say to make God famous, a.k.a. glorify God, a.k.a. show God off. Show God off by how you live, how you're living your life, what he's been doing in your life, what he's done in your life. That's how we glorify God. That's one of the ways that we do that. And so we say our mission is to make God famous, to glorify him, to show him off, to point people to God, to draw attention to God, to point out to others that, look, we have a relationship, the opportunity to have a relationship with the God of the universe. The one who's created us, the one who loves us, the one who has great plans for us. And Peter and John and these first followers, that's exactly what they was doing. They was just showing him off. They was glorifying him. They was making him famous. They was like, we can't help but talk about what we've seen and what we've heard. So I get back to what I was talking about at the beginning. How are we doing? How am I doing when it comes to that? Is it more about me? Am I just up there putting me out there and showing me off? I'm out there trying to show the God who lives in me off. You know, that's why I appreciate athletes so much, Christian athletes that aren't just giving lip service to God, but the ones who is really talking about, hey, I just got to give praise and glory due to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they can't help but talk about him. And you recognize that a lot of times, man, these reporters, man, they don't even know what to do with that. They're like, oh, let me get on to something else here. I ain't trying to hear about that. And you got some guys that they're going to start it off, and you know it ain't just words. They're giving glory to God. They're trying to say, God's the one that gave me these athletic abilities. Whatever I do, it's because of him. And how I do it, it's because of him. I give thanks to him. And so they're trying to show Christ off. So what about all this? Here's two things. If you're someone who's just checking out who Christ is, you could be here and you're like, I don't even necessarily have this relationship. And you're just checking Christ out. I say, keep coming. Because as we go through the book of Luke, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to just be taking a closer look at who Christ is, who he said he is, who other people said he was, what he said about himself. All right? So I would say take a closer look. If you're like, I'm not sure about all this stuff, then I would say take a closer look. That's my 5-minute warning. What time is it? Is that really the right time right there? 11:20? All right, let me wrap this up, y'all. Sorry. So I say, it's worth taking a closer look, y'all. If you're like, I'm not even sure, I'd say it's worth taking a closer look at who Christ is, who he says he is, how he relates to our lives on a day-in, day-out basis. And we will be unpacking a lot more about who Christ is as we look through Luke. If you're a follower of Christ, then this. Take a close look at how we're doing in regards to sharing what we've seen and heard. Man, let's do this, y'all. Let's change this city. Let's change the world. Let's change our neighborhoods. We have a message that is life-changing. If it's been life-changing in your own life, you gotta share it. Man, why wouldn't you change something or share something that's been life-changing to you? And so, like I said, I just want to challenge us to do that. When I was in college, and you know, you're all, we can change the world. And I went to this one conference with about 16,000 college students in Kansas City in 1983. And my wife and I had already graduated from college, but Dr. Graham was there, or Billy Graham, and Dr. Bill Bright, is the founder of Campus Crusade, was there. And he had written a book called Come Help Change the World. And then he preached about that. And then he challenged us to do that. And then he asked all these people, how many of you are willing to like change, be involved in changing the world? Boom. Stepped up right away. Now, has my commitment to doing that back then waned from time to time? Absolutely. We have some of these things where sometimes we're really excited about it, other times we're not. This is what I felt like God was saying to me just recently. As I was preparing for this, I said, now my intensity in doing, sharing what God has done for me has fluctuated over the years. And I sense God speaking to me saying, I know you grow weary. I know you get discouraged. I know at times it seems that what you're doing isn't making a difference. But know that you are making a difference. Know that I'm with you. I'm your source of strength. I'm the one who sustains you, who empowers you. Remember to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, who empowers you to be my witness. You have an incredible story to share. Go share it. Go share what you have seen and heard. Father God, may we keep being filled with your Holy Spirit, demonstrating the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. May we reflect you well. May we boldly and joyfully proclaim to all the world around us what we have seen and heard. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.